Fanboys and Friends presents a Fandom Awakens Radio spin-off podcast.
I'm not coming back.
You are making a mistake.
10 years ago.
Maybe.
A journey began.
But I have to sort this out on my own.
A war unfinished.
Without the Council. And without you.
Until now. Back to the clones. A few good feels.
Where exactly are you from?
I used to live in the upper levels of Coruscant. You're probably better off down here. With the Jedi running around, starting wars.
I've watched so many of my brothers fall during this war. Fives, Echo, Heavy.
Master Yoda, your thoughts on how to win the war?
No longer certain that one ever does win a war. I am.
You'll never see any Jedi around here. It's not safe down here. Things could have gotten messy for you. That's why I've got my ship.
What squad are you taking in?
Experimental Unit Clone Force 99.
The cavalry has arrived! Company! Attention!
Glad to have you back, Commander.
A limited series podcast covering the Clone Wars revival, exclusive to Disney Plus.
The good is new. Maybe a little better.
Now, join your hosts, David Senda, Kyle Wagner, and Matt Clifton, and an entire legion of clones. Back to the Clones. A Few Good Feels starts right now.
I was hoping for Kenobi. Why are you here?
All right, guys, and welcome to this episode of Back to the Clones, A Few Good Feels. Our limited series podcast talking what else? Star Wars The Clone Wars. And we are doing this in chronological order. A huge Pepsi challenge, I know. But please endure. Please follow. We do it for you, for us, for Star Wars, for all of it. I am your host, David Sending, your master of ceremonies, your guy responsible for all of this. And joining me, your friend and mine, on the way out in the swamps of Dagobah, or Florida, given the weather these days, I'm not sure what the difference would be, Kyle Wagner. Kyle, how's it going?
It's going, and it's time to talk some Clone Wars yet again.
Absolutely.
I need more clones of myself, David.
Would you say you need to pull a Tatiana Maslany?
I could use two more Tatiana Maslany in my life.
Couldn't we all? I threw that in there just for you.
I appreciate that because you know what a fan of Orphan Black I am. But
I know
let's talk about let's hit up the episode list for this episode of our Clone Wars Look Back.
What episodes are we discussing tonight?
We are going to start with Corruption, then the Academy, Assassin, ARC Trooper, Spear of Influence, Evil Plans, Hostage Crisis, Hunt for Zero, Heroes on Both Sides, Pursuit of Peace, Senate Murders.
Well, I think Corruption and the Academy, we really don't have much to say.
No, other than the fact that, let's see here, let's hit it up proper. We got to do it proper.
Let's go proper. So, gang, you will be, Kyle and I will be back momentarily, and right now you will know it is time to go into not one, but two episodes when you hear the Tom Kane go like this.
Desperate times on Mandalore. Having won neutrality for the Mandalorian system, Duchess Satine now finds herself an outsider with little aid to her people. Supplies are impossible to come by except on the black market. As a result, the Duchess faces a world consumed by greed. Hoping to alleviate some of the tensions rising in the capital city of Sundari, Satine has called upon her friend Padme Amidala to make a diplomatic visit. A world in crisis. The peaceful planet of Mandalore is being strangled by the grip of corruption. With shortages of every kind, citizens must turn to the black market in order to survive. Desperate to free her people, Duchess Satine has asked her friend Padme Amidala to speak with the Jedi Council in hopes that they will send assistance to her struggling world.
All right, so Kyle, as I was saying, I don't think with corruption in the Academy, which is kind of a little bit of an arc because they both feed into each other. Who knew? Chronological order, and you actually get some episodes in decent order.
Strange, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so let me talk about corruption. The challenge of hope is to overcome corruption. Padme, on a diplomatic mission to Mandalore, guarantees the pacifist planet the Republic's full protection, but she and Duchess Satine soon find something sinister lurking beneath the planet's serene facade. Mugen smugglers have been sneaking in supplies, including bottled tea destined for Mandalorian schools. To increase their profits, they've been diluting the tea with hazardous chemicals. I think that's pretty much any school lunch in America.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's not turn this into a political discussion tonight, because that can get a little bit more red than Star Wars fans being upset at one particular item.
But, well, it explains orange hair, that's all I'm going to say.
It does.
No, I mean, but let's talk. I mean, it's always fun to, I mean, a Padme Satine team up is always a little fun. You got to admit that.
It is. Now, but, the poison Snapple is, on the other hand.
Yeah, it's a weak story. It's
a very weak story. I mean, I will just say that episodes like Corruption, are, if Clone Wars knows how to go on an extreme high, like we were talking about a few episodes back with Landing at Point Rain.
Yep.
Corruption is a nice, decent thud.
Well, you got to remember that this is one of those cases where you have to remember that it is an animated show and they've got to make some episodes that are a little bit more kid-friendly too,
I agree, but here, there's kid-friendly. And then there are things that just felt like a really bad Scooby-Doo episode, and that was this.
This was also an episode that wanted to give a little girl power to Star Wars, too, which is nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all, but a little girl power before everyone started making a big deal out of it.
Yeah, but it was one of those episodes. It's like, okay, here, we're just going to kind of put this out. We need to get the episode count up, and so here we go.
Yeah. I believe the term we used when we reviewed the episodes was filler.
Yes, exactly. Well, speaking of filler, let's get to the next episode.
Oh, God.
I've had my fill of corruption.
You know what? I don't like Snapple and Poison Snapple. I like less.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Academy, Season 3, Episode 6. Those who enforce the law must obey the law. Ahsoka is assigned to teach a class at a leadership academy on Mandalore. Soon after she arrives, Duchess Satine's zealous nephew, Corky, and his classmates uncover a nefarious plot. Prime Minister Almak is revealed to be an active part of the black market conspiracy on Mandalore as he attempts to permanently silence Duchess Satine and the cadets before they expose his corruption. Ahsoka and the cadets defeat Almak before he can succeed.
Now, this was the one where you really felt Scooby-Doo, because I'm like, whoa!
Well, I felt like this was more Ahsoka and her Boy Scout troop.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God. Well, yeah. I can't disagree with you there.
I mean, okay. Here's how bad this episode actually was. There's not even anything entered on it for it on Wikipedia.
Right.
I mean, that's how non-memorable this episode was.
Yep. I think in geek circles, and I'm going to, you know, borrow this from a totally different franchise, we call that being Thanos'd.
Yeah, exactly. I think that there was a finger snap involved in this episode.
Before finger snap was a thing, before Thanos went all, yeah, we did that.
Yep, exactly. So, but what's going to be interesting is what's next is actually kind of we're going to get a little bit of an extended story arc here. Because this episode kind of starts some things that are going to be running.
Yeah. So, all right, gang, Kyle and I will be back momentarily. So what you will be hearing now is you will know it is time to go to the next episode when you hear Mr. Kane go like this.
Criminals captured. Jedi Master Plo Koon and Padawan Ahsoka Tano successfully thwarted an attempt on Mace Windu's life, killing bounty hunter Aura Singh in the process. Since that time, young Ahsoka has grown strong in the ways of the Force. Now, after several harrowing adventures alongside her master, the two Jedi have returned to the temple on Coruscant to receive their next mission.
All right, so Kyle, please. Let's proceed with the next episode, shall we?
Yes, the next episode is Assassin, Season 3, Episode 7. The future has many paths. Choose wisely. Tasked to protect Senator Padme Amidala during a political mission to Alderaan, Padawan Ahsoka Tano is plagued by recurring visions of recently deceased bounty hunter Aura Singh. Unable to clear her mind, Ahsoka worries that the stress of conflict is finally getting to her until her visions indeed prove prophetic. Padme narrowly avoids death when Aura Singh attempts to assassinate her. Together, Padme and Ahsoka trap the hunter, and Ahsoka discovers the true villain behind the plot to kill Padme, the incarcerated gangster Zero the Hutt.
Well, good lord, Zero?
Yeah, you just lost me at Zero the Hutt. Sorry.
A treaty is impossible.
I mean, I would have been fine if the last time we saw Zero was in the Clone Wars movie.
Yeah, no, I will agree. I mean, okay, let me just say something about that and sort of add your point. I love George to pieces. He created this world. He gave, you know, and everyone's going to be playing in the sandbox, obviously. We know what's going on or what may not be going on. Who knows? But there's goofy George. And then there's things like Zero where I'm like, WTF, George, what are you doing?
Well, and, you know, some of it falls on Dave, too, so.
Well, yeah, but mainly falls on George because Dave was simply being the mouthpiece for George.
To a point, yeah, but, you know, let's talk about the good parts of this episode because
don't get me wrong, I have to get that out, okay? Yeah.
I do love what they did with Aura Singh in Clone Wars.
What they did with Aura Singh really makes up for the fact that all we see in Episode 1 is her back.
Yeah.
And
so
we get a nice little sort of tongue-in-cheek reference to her fate in Solo, which I'm sure Jamie King was very upset about.
Yeah. But, you know, I like this episode, too, because not only do we get a lot of Aura Singh in this, but we start seeing Padme's Jedi powers increase a little bit here.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Where we're starting to see a little leveling up and maturing of Padme, too. This is when we're starting to get a little bit out of her snips mode.
Are you talking Padme or Ahsoka?
I mean Ahsoka, yeah, excuse me, Ahsoka.
Yeah,
she's starting to get out of her snips mode. And, you know, Padme is always written strongly anyway. But it was nice to see these two, the two women closest to Anakin team up here.
Yeah, no, it was. I would have wanted to see the series do more of that.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that too. And who knows, maybe in season 7 we get a little bit of that. It's hard to say.
Who knows, hard to say. Considering how... And you can tell just by the little hologram Anakin and Padme moment you see in the Season 7 trailer. Based on that and how close it is to Episode 3, I don't think we're going to get much Ahsoka and Padme stuff. I could be wrong, but based on how close it is to Order 66, I'm like... I'd be surprised.
No, I would agree with you there. So
yeah,
but let's move on because the next episode I found to be one of the more interesting episodes of Clone Wars.
All right, so gang, you know what that means. We will be back momentarily, and you will know it is time to go to the next episode when you hear Tom Kane go like this.
Separatist attack! After the destruction of the Republic outpost on the Rishi Moon, General Grievous and Asajj Ventress plan an attack on the planet Kamino, home of the cloning factories. Meanwhile, aboard a Jedi cruiser, Jedi Knights Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi examine an intercepted message from General Grievous.
So, Kyle, let's go through the next episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Yes, we're going to be looking at Season 3, Episode 2, ARC Troopers. Fighting a war tests a soldier's skills. Defending his home tests a soldier's heart. The Republic learns of an impending separatist attack on Kamino, and Anakin and Obi-Wan hurry to the planet. Afterward, the Republic repulses the separatist diversionary assault. The real attack begins. Asajj Ventress, General Grievous, and an army of droids rise out of the oceans, bent on destroying Kamino's clone production facilities. Rex, Cody, Fives, and Echo lead the clones in a desperate defense of their home planet. This was a great episode because... You know, it never made sense to me. Why didn't the Separatists go after Kamino more?
Yeah, it never made sense to me at all. I mean, considering its importance, and it's one of those elements where I would have wanted in Episode 2 because it would have made it a lot more clear why this planet existed in the movie.
Oh, yeah, I agree, and... You know, I think one of the things I liked about this, too, is you kind of get to see what's important to the clones, and they feel like, you know, they're basically fighting for their home planet.
Yeah, yeah. And the emotional moment, I especially like 99.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I got to say this, and I was... I was a equipment manager for my football team back in high school, or what everybody calls water boy. We all know the jokes everybody's made for years with that. I'm still sour at you, Adam Sandler. But I was that when I was in high school. So for me to see this emotional moment with 99 and just his importance, and we've talked about it before, but it really sort of got to me because he was that clone that I always wanted to be. He was gung-ho, he was this, he was that, and couldn't. Everyone told him no, and on all that, he was kept down. It really felt like me. I could relate to 99.
Yeah, no, I can get that, and I just love the moments we had with Rex, Cody, Fives, and Echo as well. Yeah. And first time we see Asajj Ventress in a while. We hadn't seen Asajj in a while.
Oh yes, yeah. Can I say I love how little Disney shill plug moment, but I love how the episode when you run it on Disney Plus actually keeps that clone impale kiss moment, that, you know, the moment where Cartoon Network censored it because they really were worried about it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, plus I was watching on Disney Plus and I noticed that moment's there.
Oh, yep. You know, so go figure, but you know, we talk about episodes I don't care for. That's what's coming up, David.
Oh, that sounds really juicy. So, gang, you know what that means. Kyle and I will be back momentarily, and you know it's time to go to the next episode when you hear Tom Kane go like this.
Pandora in peril. The newly elected chairman of Pandora, Baron Papanoida, is caught in a deadly political game. The Trade Federation has blockaded Pandora and suspended all commerce with the system. Isolated from the rest of the Republic, the people of Pandora are beginning to rally against the Senate, who have seemed unsympathetic to their plight. To make matters worse, Count Dooku has come forward offering aid if Pandora joins the Separatist Alliance. Chairman Papanoida has dispatched Senator Chuchi to Coruscant with the hope that she can motivate the Senate to act in favor of Pandora before Lot Dog can legitimize the blockade.
All right, so Kyle, color me grievous intrigued. I mean, wait, wrong thing. Color me intrigued, but you... Okay, please, do tell.
We are talking about Season 3, Episode 4, Spear of Influence. A child stolen is a lost hope. Chi Ekwe and Chi Aminwe, Chairman Papadonian's daughters, are kidnapped and held for ransom. Ahsoka Tano teams up with the senator from Pantoro, Ryo Chichi, to aid the new chairman in recovering his family before the Trade Federation can unduly influence the planet, future of his planet. The chairman and his son Ion track down the kidnapper, Greedo, on Tatooine, and rescue Chi Aminwe. Meanwhile, Ahsoka and Churchy find Chi Chi Ekwe held captive aboard a blockading Federation ship, battleship over Pantora, and exposed Trade Federation officer Sib Caney as a separatist conspirator. Was there just a need for this episode? That's all I'm saying.
I must applaud you, sir, trying to read through that summary with all those names, and I'm going, my God, he's butchering his tongue.
Yeah. Was there a need for this episode?
Yeah, good question. I mean,
other than Greedo.
Well, yes, and having Greedo talk, which is just weird.
Yep.
But good question. I think the only thing I can sum up from this episode existing is the fact that it's Chairman Papanoida, and you're essentially, oh, I don't know, stroking George's ego.
Yeah. But we're kind of, here's the thing, we're kind of hitting this. It's, we got a run of a few episodes here in this bunch that are just like, okay, yeah, this is when we're kind of just getting through things right now. We're just kind of running through the motions on Clone Wars.
Yeah, I think largely Season 3 had a lot of that, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, but well, let's continue on that path of a lot of that, because we're talking about Season 3, Episode 8 there, Mr. Senden, so if you would.
Yes, folks, Kyle and I will be back momentarily to talk the new episode, the next episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. So, you will know it is time to do so when you hear Tom Kane go like this.
Plans. With the Jedi Council focused on the war effort, criminal minds are left unchecked to spread fear and corruption. Galactic gangster Jabba the Hutt has sent bounty hunter Cad Bane on a nefarious mission, which shall strike at the heart of the Republic. Meanwhile, the unsuspecting citizens of Coruscant go about their daily lives.
All right, Kyle, please proceed.
Episode 8 of Season 3, Evil Plans. A failure in planning is a plan for failure. In the middle of a routine shopping trip on Coruscant, C-3PO is abducted by the bounty hunter Cad Bane. Bane is looking for information about the Senate building on behalf of Jabba the Hutt. Finding C-3PO devoid of useful information, Bane and his accomplices kidnap R2-D2 and extract the vital data before memory wiping the droids of the incident and letting them on their way. The floor plans and security details on the Senate building are part of a plot engineered by the Hutt families to free their imprisoned brother, Zero the Hutt, who holds potentially damaging information about Hutt activities. Ugh.
Really? Really, Clone Wars? Okay, you're going so high. You're going higher than high, and I'm really digging the show. But again, this was when you're watching in proper order, you get episodes like this, and it's like falling off a cloud. You're on cloud nine, especially after, you know, your four-part Landing in Point Rain arc or your Mandalore arc, right? You're on cloud nine, and episodes like this, you might as well just fall like some kind of cartoon in Roger Rabbit.
Well, and considering this is a case of, again, why watching in chronological order is so important, because the follow-up episode to this episode was aired way back in season one.
Yeah, no, I know. Are you referring to Hostage Crisis?
Yeah, so without further ado, let's just move on to Hostage Crisis.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's not much to say about Evil Plans except, ugh.
Yeah. Season 1, Episode 22, Hostage Crisis. A secret shared is a trust formed. An attempt to force the release of the crime lord Zero the Hutt from prison. Bounty hunters seize control of the Senate building and hold members of the Senate hostage. Cad Bane, the leader of the operation, with the help of bounty hunter Aurra Sing, issues his demands to Chancellor Palpatine, who has no choice but to meet his request. Unbeknownst to the hunters, Jedi Knight Anakin Skywalker is loose in the Senate building. This is an okay episode, but here's the issue. If this episode would have been in its natural chronological order in the first place, this would have been so much better, because we would have had a proper introduction to Cad Bane. We would have had a great follow-up to this episode instead of jumping to 309. And it's just, this is one area where the out-of-order placement of episodes really, really hurt Clone Wars.
This is the one area where I will say, and I will stand by this statement till my dying day or till I stop podcasting altogether. I love George to pieces, but I really feel he had no idea how to run the TV show.
I agree with you. And, you know, it's funny how you watch this, because this is really... it's really interesting, because we're kind of hitting a part where a lot of people break season three into two halves, and I understand why now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an okay, it is what it is for an episode. It's more Zero the Hutt, which I don't need any more of in my life, but unfortunately...
I don't either.
Unfortunately, we get to season three, episode 9, Hunt for Zero. Love comes in all shapes and sizes.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, gang, Kyle and I need a break for a minute. So, yeah, that's what out-of-order episodes do in the Clone Wars. You need a break for a minute. So, what you would now do, why we take a rest, is hear the dulcet tones of Tom Kane take it to the next episode. So you will know it is time to go to that episode when you hear Tom Kane go like this.
Danger looms. Despite recent victories in the Outer Rim, criminal minds plot at the very heart of the Republic. The bounty hunter Cad Bane has assembled some of the deadliest criminals in the galaxy and plans a daring attack to seize members of the Senate. What could be the aim of this despicable act? A great escape. Cad Bane and his notorious crew of bounty hunters liberated Zero the Hutt from a Republic prison after holding the Galactic Senate hostage. The Jedi Council has assigned Obi-Wan Kenobi to retrieve Zero the Hutt with the help of Jedi Knight Quinlan Voss. Unknown to the Jedi, we find Zero in the clutches of the five Hutt families on the distant world of Nal Hutta.
Yeah. Season 1, Episode 22, Hostage Crisis. A secret shared is a trust formed. An attempt to force the release of the crime lord Zero the Hutt from prison. Bounty hunters seize control of the Senate building and hold members of the Senate hostage. Cad Bane, the leader of the operation, with the help of bounty hunter Aurra Sing, issues his demands to Chancellor Palpatine, who has no choice but to meet his request. Unbeknownst to the hunters, Jedi Knight Anakin Skywalker is loose in the Senate building. This is an okay episode, but here's the issue. If this episode would have been in its natural chronological order in the first place, this would have been so much better, because we would have had a proper introduction to Cad Bane. We would have had a great follow-up to this episode instead of jumping to 309. And it's just, this is one area where the out-of-order placement of episodes really, really hurt Clone Wars.
This is the one area where I will say, and I will stand by this statement till my dying day or till I stop podcasting altogether. I love George to pieces, but I really feel he had no idea how to run the TV show.
I agree with you. And, you know, it's funny how you watch this, because this is really... it's really interesting, because we're kind of hitting a part where a lot of people break season 3 into two halves, and I understand why now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an okay, it is what it is for an episode. It's more Zero the Hutt, which I don't need any more of in my life, but unfortunately...
I don't either.
Unfortunately, we get to season 3, episode 9, Hunt for Zero. Love comes in all shapes and sizes.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, gang, Kyle and I need a break for a minute. So, yeah, that's what out-of-order episodes do in the Clone Wars. You need a break for a minute. So, what you would now do, why we take a rest, is hear the dulcet tones of Tom Kane take it to the next episode. So you will know it is time to go to that episode when you hear Tom Kane go like this. All right, so Kyle, I think this is the point where, and I never thought I'd say this in a Star Wars episode, anything, right? Where we discuss probably the weirdest romance in a Star Wars.
Let's just put it this way. The words jumping the shark come to mind.
Let's put it this way. The words yuck come to
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, there's that too. So the hunt for Zero love comes in all shapes and sizes. Cad Bane has broken Zero the Hutt out of prison. The Hutt Council demands that Zero tell them where he's hidden vital and incriminating information. A journal detailing the criminal activities of the Hutt families. Zero makes another daring escape with the help of his estranged and strange lover, Cy Snoodles.
What?
Yeah. Bane is back on the Hutt trail, but he's not the only one. The Jedi, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Quinlan Voss need to find him, too. A chase through the swamps of Hal Hutta leads the pursuers to Zero's enormous mother, Mama the Hutt, who points them to Teth. Here in the secret grave of Zero's father that the fugitive Hutt has hidden the diary. When he retrieves it, Snooty reveals her true spot. She's a deadly woman scorned and a bounty hunter for hire. I don't need to say any more about this episode. Move along.
Oh, dear God. Wait. Okay, let's go through this. All right?
Do we have to?
Yes, okay, we do, but not for long. But there were a few things to like here. Only a few. Okay, the Hutt Council, like the Hutt crime families, that whole Godfather-esque idea, I want to see more of that. Now, granted, with a certain red and black tattooed Zabrak, we get a far better use of that. But we'll get to that later. But that was a cool element. With Mama the Hutt, it was nice seeing Nal Hutta. I'll give you that. But with Mama the Hutt, I just gotta say, Star Wars, I don't need to see what's eating Gilbert Grape's mama in a Star Wars. Come on.
Yeah, I just really have nothing to say. Yeah.
All right. That's it. Okay, that's it. That's all. Well, and let's be honest, seeing Quinlan Vos was kind of...
Yeah, I'll give you the Quinlan Vos thing. Okay, yeah,
I'll give you that. That was cool. It was fine. But let's cleanse the palate, hopefully. And gain, so now you will know when it is time to go to the next episode when you hear Tom Kane go like this.
Conflict with no end in sight. Across the galaxy, the quagmire of war continues. While clone troopers suffer casualties at alarming rates, the Galactic Senate convenes an emergency session to debate the true cost of the war.
All right, so Kyle, what are we on now with our chronological venture in the Clone Wars?
We are on Season 3, Episode 10, Heroes on Both Sides. Fear is a great motivator. When the Senate begins debating a bill that would eliminate government oversight of the banking clan's activities in order to fund the war, Padme and Ahsoka travel in secret to the capital of the Confederacy of Independent Systems. Amidala attempts to forge a peace agreement with the Separatists while Ahsoka sees for the first time the people of the Confederacy. Padme's friend Mina Bonteri spearheads the peace initiative and convinces the Separatist Congress to sue for peace. Meanwhile, on Coruscant, Senators Lot Dodd and Guam Sam conspire with banking clan representative Nixcart and Count Dooku to make the banking deregulation a reality. At Dooku's command, General Grievous engineers an attack at the central power distribution grid on Coruscant, carried out by Separatist demolition droids. The chaos and panic spreads to the Senate, which vehemently rejects the Separatist peace initiative.
Okay, I gotta say, first off, that when politics is done well in Star Wars, you get things like this.
Yes, I will agree with you there.
When it's done poorly, which, you know, granted, debatable, it has been, you get, as biased as I am, I'll just say you get Phantom Menace.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing, but...
Yeah.
You know, what I liked here more than anything was how Padme was handled this, trying to make peace with her friend. She actually is getting it there, and then they have everything go wrong. And this is one of those episodes where, yeah, the bad guys win at the end of the episode.
Yeah, which is shocking. And I find it nice that the title of the episode was taken from a line from a scroll text.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know, what's interesting is that this is a political story, and they actually got two parts out of it.
Well, then, please, let's go into discussing the next part as well.
Yeah, so we're talking Season 3, Episode 11, Pursuit of Peace. Truth can strike down the specter of fear. Padme, Bail Organa, and Anaconda Farr attempt to rally senators in opposition to a bill that would appropriate funds for millions of new clone troopers and have disastrous financial consequences for the Republic. Their opposition to the measure, however, soon makes them targets for intimidation attacks by hired guns. After escaping two hired thugs, Chatahioke and Robonino, in a harrowing speeder bike chase, Padme is able to sway the Senate with a stirring account of how the war has affected an everyday civilian, her handmaiden Tecla Manu. Again, this is just Padme at her best. When the political episodes are really about Padme-centric, that's when they're really strong.
I agree, yeah.
And, you know, I think I give the Clone Wars writers room a lot of credit for dealing with the political side of a war in a way that I think is, for the most part, stayed pretty interesting throughout all of Clone Wars.
It did, yeah, it did. And again, I go with my what I was saying before. When politics is done right, you get, gold. When it's not, as hard as it is for me to say, you get Phantom Menace. But at the same time, you know, I've also got to say, because everybody's been saying, you know, with the new movies, or at least they were saying, they're kind of quiet about it now, but they were saying, oh, why does a political agenda need to be there? I'm like, well, because that's what Star Wars has always had. If you think politics is anything new to Star Wars, you clearly need to go back and watch the original trilogy again.
Well, I mean, the line is right there when they talk about the Emperor having disbanded the Imperial Senate in the first Star Wars film.
Exactly.
So, well, that's going to lead us into yet again where Clone Wars was really out of chronological order in Season 3 because, hey, we have an important character who, I mean, you watch in chronological order, it makes sense, but when you don't, this character died in Season 2 but is showing up in Season 3.
All right, so gang, Kyle and I will be back momentarily, and you know it is time to go to the next episode when you hear Tom Kane go like this.
War on many fronts. While battles are fought by clones in the field, a different war is waged in the Galactic Senate. As heavy losses add up, a group of senators led by Halle Bertoni of Kamino propose an escalation of troop production. Senator Padme Amidala, recognizing that more troops will only prolong the fighting, works tirelessly with her allies to introduce a bill to cut military spending and stop the creation of more clone troopers.
So, Kyle, please, take us through what is bound to confuse a lot of people if they aren't doing this chronological venture.
It confused me when I originally watched Clone Wars, but that is Clone Wars Season 2, Episode 15, Senate Murders. Searching for the truth is easy, accepting the truth is hard. When Senator Onakanda Farr dies under suspicious circumstances and the local inspector appears incompetent, Padme sets out to find the person who poisoned her mentor. Following a trail of clues, Padme and Bail Organa delve into a dangerous world of backstabbing lies and secrets controlled by the powerful Senator Mi Dichi and Halle Bertoni. Padme's search for forces her to risk her career and ideals, but the true identity of the assassin is even more destructive than she could imagine. So basically what the last few episodes have been has been the West Wing of Star Wars.
More or less, yeah.
So, again, this is one of those things where chronological order really was important here because we just saw Onakanda Farr as being a major part of the previous episode. Mm-hmm. Well, if you had watched these in regular episode order, Onakanda Farr dies in this episode, which means he died way back in Season 2.
Yeah, weird, huh?
But he returned from the dead in time for Season 3. So, hey, you know, the mysteries are afoot.
That is, my dear friend, the advantage you have when all you can do is hand draw your character.
This is true. So, what did you think of this episode, David?
This episode was obviously Star Wars borrowing from different genres of film, which I clearly don't mind, right? Mm-hmm. But not like I was saying with Zilla Beast a couple episodes ago, but I will say I do mind when it's so blatantly apparent.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And
by what I mean by that is like when you can pick out, oh, this is this, or this is that, or this is that. See, I don't exactly like Star Wars when it does that. And you and I both know, especially for me, that's really hard to say, because I'm about as biased as they get. I'm a staunch defender of okay, calm down, guys. Let's talk the Star Wars we have, not the Star Wars we don't. So, for me to say I don't necessarily like when Star Wars does something is incredibly hard.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like anything else. When you have a series that runs this long, you're going to have the good and the bad.
Yeah, well, that is true.
So, but you know what? When you speak of the comparisons of the good and the bad, we've just basically covered the first half of season 3. The next episode is going to cover a lot of the second half of season 3. And I think most Star Wars fans will definitely say that you split season 3 into two halves, and for a particular reason, because while this first half of season 3 was a little rough, we are about to get into the meat and potatoes and maybe what some people... and the arc that most people consider one of the most meaningful and greatest arcs in the Clone Wars run.
Oh, okay. Well, let's get into that arc, shall we?
Well, and... No. Time out. You're okay, getting ahead of yourself. That's the next episode, David. This is the end of this episode.
Oh, okay.
I know you're excited, but no. We must cleanse the palate of this first half of season 3. We must get a good cloud.
All right. So, gang, thanks for listening to this episode of Back to the Clones, A Few Good Feels. We will be back next time. Besides, we got the Clone Wars coming back one last time, streaming exclusively on Disney Plus.
Soon, the galaxy will be remade. The Jedi and the Republic will die.
I sense a plot to destroy the Jedi.
Great care we must take.
Why would anyone walk away from being a Jedi? We were trained to be keepers of the peace. Not soldiers.
We clones have mixed feelings about the war. Without it, we wouldn't exist.
All part of the plan. The plan. Everything is about to change.
The name's Rex. But you'll call me Captain or Sir. War does not come with a guarantee. No soldier gets the promise of safety.
My designation is Trooper 27-5555, sir.
We call him Fives.
I'm Heavy.
This is Echo.
I'm Commander Cody, your new boss.
Sir, yes, sir!
Looks like we got ourselves a batch of shinies, Commander.
Look around. We're one and the same. Same heart, same blood. Your training is in your blood. And my blood's boiling for a fight.
This is our war.
This can't be good. We need to pull back. Get on the portals. If we can draw them out, we can see them. If we can see them, we can hit them.
Thank you for listening to Clone Wars Rewind, a lead up to Back to the Clones, A Few Good Feels. Clone Wars Rewind and its limited series podcast, Back to the Clones, A Few Good Feels, are meant for information purposes only. Star Wars is a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, and no infringement is intended. Fans together strong.
So important that you brought us all the way back here.
Hello, Master. It's been a while.